Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study meeting. My name is Susan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, January 10th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page XXVIII, and we are reading the second full paragraph, which begins with frothy, emotional appeal seldom suffices, and ends with, if they are to recreate their life. Today's readers are, we have Alex K. reading the text, and Cara L. reading A Vision for You. The reference numbers for the last couple of days are Tuesday, January 9th, 21,019, that's from the 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, and from this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern meeting, Wednesday, January 10th, 21,027. Okay, and also our readers of the steps today is Anita L., and the traditions will be Linda B. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anita L. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Anita.
Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. outside of Philadelphia, recovered one day at a time. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Have a beautiful day, everyone, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Anita, so much. And next we will ask Linda B. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susan, and good morning to all my OA fellows. My name is Linda B., and I'm from Ontario, Canada, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to be of service. And I pass.
Thank you, Linda. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book, and we are currently in the doctor's opinion on page XXVIII, and we're going to talk about the paragraph Frothy Emotional Appeal Seldom Suffices. And Alex Kay, would you like to start us off, please?
Thank you, Susan. Alex Kay in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. Thanks for being here, everyone. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold these alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. I looked up the word frothy, and it says light and of little substance. And the frothy emotional appeals didn't come from other people because most people had no idea I was a compulsive eater. I did it in secret, and I was a binger starver and didn't gain a lot of weight for years. But the frothy emotional appeals came from myself, bargaining, negotiating, swearing off, making resolutions and promises to never do it again. To control my disease, telling myself that now that I understand this disease, I won't binge anymore. Or thinking I just needed more willpower, I just needed to try harder. And then beating myself up for doing it again, asking myself, what's wrong with me? I should know better. Why did I do that? As if I could shame myself into recovery. Trying to use fear, telling myself I was killing myself. None of it helped. It didn't relieve me of the compulsion. Even when I had heart palpitations sometimes after binging on huge quantities of sugar and I was afraid I'd die of a heart attack, that didn't stop me from compulsively eating. The problem was I didn't have a substantial solution. I didn't have a solution of depth and weight. I was trying to solve my problem, my thinking, with my problem, my thinking. A sick mind can't heal a sick mind, I've heard. What helped was hearing fellow compulsive eaters tell their stories, people who had been where I was and now had freedom and peace, hearing them talk about the solution they'd found and witnessing their transformations. That inspired me. Being encouraged and supported in my recovery as I found my way and followed the suggestions and began to see my life get better. And best of all, and most important, developing and nurturing a relationship with my loving higher power, who has removed my food obsession and compulsion. That's a miracle. So grateful for that. I can't do it alone. I need this program and my fellows and my higher power. That's the solution I need to treat my disease. That's the message of depth and weight I need, and then I can pass it on to others. Together we get better. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you, Alex Kay. Okay, here we go. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared yesterday or Monday, today is not the third day. If you came in during Alex's share, we're on page XXVIII in the doctor's opinion, and we're commenting on the one paragraph, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices, and it ends with, if they are to recreate their lives. So when you unmute to share, can you give me your first name, last initial, and the state where you're calling from? Who would like to share this morning?
Kara L., California.
Thank you.
Raji L. Raji, California.
Thank got you wrong. Right. There was someone else.
Jackie L. Georgia.
Okay, hold on. Who's from Georgia, please?
Jackie Lee. That's from Delightful.
Daphne, okay.
Jackie.
You said?
Yeah.
Okay, you're set. I know you're from Georgia. Sorry, somebody keeps trying to talk over you. Who was trying to talk at the same time as that, please?
Eileen, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay, Eileen. Don't worry. It's we don't know. Let's take one more person in this first round.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Jackie.
Jackie. Did I hear a Jackie? Was there a Jackie who unmuted? Okay,
yes, sorry, Jackie B from Georgia. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, was you the lady who unmuted before from Georgia?
Right, exactly. Yes,
okay.
I am.
Okay, great. So we have one. All right, no problem. One more spot here in the first lineup. Who would like to share?
Jody E.
Thank you, Jody. Good morning. Hi.
Good morning.
All right, so we're going to go Cara, Roz, Jackie D, Eileen M, Jody E. Cara, would you like to start us off, please?
Sure. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L. I'm from California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Frothy emotional appeal. I cannot tell you how many times there was frothy emotional appeal for myself, for my family, from, you know, and meaning, you know, well meant. And I just, it had to be, you know, the end of this, it says, you know, it has to be grounded in a power greater than themselves to recreate their lives. And I'll tell you, you know, working these steps, you know, step 12, the result of these steps is a spiritual awakening. And today, you know, on the other side of it, I see, wow, that is the answer. But for years, I always thought it was a new diet plan or a new expert or a new this or, you know, working with my friends or being on a diet together or, you know, I'm going to exercise in this group and this group of health nuts, and I'm going to be great. I mean, there were so many things. And for me, the simplest answer, my higher power, was the hardest answer for me to get to. You know, I was used to working hard. If you worked hard, you succeeded. That was how I was raised. Like, if you're not succeeding, you're not working hard enough. And so in my brain, it feels like I have to work hard to succeed. You know, I have all these things that, you know, these preconceived notions. And once another fellow showed me, like, through their actions and through their shares, you know, that they were like me, they were in the same place I was in, and a power greater than themselves was their answer. I had to see that over and over and over again from fellows around me, that it finally clicked in, and I was like, oh, that's the answer. Not all these other things I've been doing and trying to, you know, fix and kind of like treading water and never getting anywhere. You know, I wasn't drowning, but I wasn't getting anywhere. And I'm really grateful today for all of those who've gone before me, because I needed them. I needed to hear their stories. I needed to feel identity. I needed to see, you know, the path they took to find recovery. And it was a light and a beacon for me on my path. And I'm grateful for that today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Cara. Next, we have Roz G. Roz, please unmute and join us.
Okay. Thank you, Susan, for your service. My name is Roz G. I'm a compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is the Los Angeles County. And I'd like to also kind of capitalize on frothy emotional appeal along with recreating my life. And, you know, some of the frothy emotional appeals for me was, if I eat this, it's going to end up on my stomach, because I have that apple shape, you know, my weight gain kind of, you know, shows in my stomach, my abdomen area. So, you know, not my hips, but, oh, if I eat that, it's going to end up on my hips. Or, oh, you can eat anything in moderation. Or actually going to a nutritionist at my healthcare plan, where they put out a bunch of plastic foods on a plate and showed me the portion sizes of these foods, and some of them, which included foods that are alcohol for me, those were all frothy emotional appeals. And then you get here with, you know, sometimes you get a hardcore sponsor or people, you know, in some of these meetings that tell you the truth. You're going to die if you do this. This will kill you. Get a sponsor, get a food plan, cut the crap, and do the work. Sit down, shut up, open your ears, and listen. I really don't like hearing those things, but, you know, they have been very effective for me. We all have different personality types, and although I don't like to hear those strong truths, in the end, when I look back, I'm so grateful for the people that told me those things. And as a person who has recreated my life, you know, I was a selfish, self-centered, self-seeking, jealous, envious, prideful woman. And that's the person I took with me everywhere. And after, you know, having the depth and the weight of these steps and looking at step 6, 7 so deeply and asking God to remove those defects of character, of course the food, but the defects of character which were underlying all of that behavior, has turned me into a much different person. Am I a gentler person? Probably not. I kind of have a straightforward, tell it like it is personality. But I, you know, I am told, you know, mean what you say what you mean, and don't say it mean. I try to portray that. I don't always succeed at it. And when I don't, I try to make amends as possible. And I was at a theme park yesterday, and there were so many opportunities for me to open up my big mouth and say things where I shouldn't have said, which I didn't. Thank you. I'll just say thank you for God for recreating me as a person. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you are just joining us, we are discussing the paragraph in the doctor's opinion on XXVIII, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Next, we are going to go to Jackie D. in Georgia. Please unmute Jackie.
Good morning. Yeah. This is Jackie. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Hi, this is Jackie. Okay, thank you. This is Jackie D. from Georgia, and thank you for your service and for allowing me to be of service by sharing my experience, strength, and hope. Frothy emotional, my goodness, it's like my whole life, that's all everybody ever did. It's like, Jackie, why are you doing this? Jackie, why are you eating so much? Jackie this, Jackie that. You know, my husband, he's like, you have so much willpower when it comes to other things. Why can you not just stop eating the way that you do? Why do you have to eat so much? What I like to call, he would always give me the stink eye whenever I went for seconds. And it just, even though it hurt my feelings, it just never kept me from doing my compulsive overeating. It just never stopped me. And so when the same person who was giving me the stink eye suggested that I Google how to stop eating the way that I eat, I found OA. And it brought me to this program. It brought me to a vision. It brought me to the sponsor, the first sponsor who put me in hospitalization, who I just did not understand why I had to be in hospitalization. I just needed a good meal plan. I just needed to stop eating the way that I did. But she explained to me, and she helped me realize that I have a problem. And through using the big book, through the steps, through everything that she said and what I heard in these meetings, it has helped me to be the person that I am now. You know, 22 months later, I'm still abstinent. You know, 22 months later, I have a life that I never thought I could possibly have. And I needed her. I needed that first sponsor to just wake me up, you know, to make me realize that no matter how much I tried to do things on my own, I couldn't do it. I needed the higher power. I needed a spiritual awakening. I needed a spiritual experience. And most importantly, I needed to hear everybody else's story. You know, I needed to hear how they recover, how they're recovering, how they're staying abstinent. I needed messages that had debt. I needed messages that had weight. And I needed all of you. So I am incredibly grateful that my first sponsor put me in hospitalization, brought me to vision, and did all the things that she did to get me to where I am today. And even though I thought she was crazy and I thought the message was harsh, it was exactly what I needed. So I'm grateful for this program. I'm grateful for all of you guys. And I am grateful that you're allowing me to share today. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Love you. I thank you. And I'm very grateful for you. And that's it. I pass.
Thank you, Jackie D. and George. And next, we're going to go to Eileen M. Eileen, please unmute.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. And, yeah, I love the part about the message has to have depth and weight, because I was thinking about this, and, you know, the message that we carry has to be effective. It has to be consistent. It also has to be full of hope, you know, so that others will want the recovery that we have. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, as a result of the spiritual awakening, you know, is that we get to have a life that is better, or I should say for myself, I get to have a life that is better than I ever could have imagined, because now I'm relying on a higher power and not on my own self-will. And, you know, I have to tell you that finding a vision for you meeting was such a wonderful miracle for me, because going to my local OA meetings, there was a lot of very confusing messages. And one of them, you know, for example, was I heard a lot in the rooms that service is slimming. Well, here's the thing is, you know, we don't do service to stay a certain weight. I mean, that's not the purpose. I mean, you know, the big book tells us that our job now, once we've had a spiritual awakening and are recovered, our job now is to be of maximum service to others. And that's the reason that we do this. So, you know, I was very grateful to get into vision because the message is vastly different from what I was hearing in the rooms, you know, locally. So I'm so grateful for that. One of the things that I learned from my spiritual awakening was I thought that my life was all about me and getting everything I wanted. So that's what, you know, my focus was getting everything I wanted. And that's not what it's about, you know. It's about trying to be helpful to other people and, you know, not to be so self-centered and thinking about others. And I'm really grateful. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Eileen M. in New Hampshire. And next, we have Jody E. in California. Good morning, Jody. Jody, star one to unmute. I know you're probably trying.
Good morning. Here I am. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. And Susan, for your leadership and the shares I've heard already. So being an anorexic bulimic type, when I first came to OA, my weight was normal. I had not been appealed to by other people about my weight. If anything, it was you should gain weight. So I wasn't really looking for weight loss. That was not why I came here. I was looking for sanity and serenity and neutrality with food, because though my weight was normal, I was not neutral at all around food, and I was managing my weight and my food is what I was doing, with purging and binging, which was not a healthy lifestyle. So I too needed a message of depth and weight. And even though the very first meeting I went to was not a Vision for You meeting, I knew that the 12 steps were the depth and weight that I needed. Instinctually, I knew it when I first heard them. I didn't find immediately recovery in the rooms, nor in myself. And I, too, had to wait many years to find a meeting that studied the Big Book and that practiced entire abstinence to be able to hear this message of depth and weight, to practice these principles that are grounded in a power greater than myself. I needed to get clean and I needed to work the steps in a way that is such as is directed in this book. This book really speaks to me, and the way the steps are worked in this book really speaks to me. So I have found a message of depth and weight here, and my ideals are grounded in a power greater than myself. And yes, I have been able to recreate my life. I continue to recreate it. It doesn't stop, and that is the beauty of it. It just gets better and deeper, and I'm recovering on a variety of levels, which is in different ways, which is such a blessing today. I can't tell you, because I was so stuck for so long. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody. Okay, before I take the next lineup of names, a reminder that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And if you came in halfway through any of those shares we just heard, page XXVIII is where we are today. The doctor's opinion, frothy emotional appeals seldom suffices. So if you'd like to share, please give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling in from today. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
I heard a Wendy.
Robin P.
Robin P.
T, like Tom.
T, thank you.
Sherry H.
Sherry H. M. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll start with these three people. And I believe I heard Wendy first. Sorry if I didn't get your name all the way correct. No, Wendy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Grateful. Thank you, Susan, and everybody on the line. This is one of my favorite words two words or three, frothy emotional appeal. The reason why that I love those lines is because I have been full of those lines my whole life. I have been giving myself frothy emotional appeal to explain away, to, you know, to justify behaviors, right? And frothy emotional appeal is in our minds, right? That's what my mind is telling me and telling you. And I remember all of us, you know, you'd be so pretty if you could just drop the pounds, or you have such great willpower. Maybe that can continue. The reason why I would get so upset, so angry, is because I knew that they were full of you know what, because I was full of you know what all the time. My life was fraught with emotional appeal, you know, and that's the program gives us an opportunity to not live like that. It gives us an opportunity to live, you know, in depth and weight, right? And I remember the first time somebody said something to me in this program, which was depth and weight. And the reason I stayed and the reason why it felt so fabulous to hear it was because I finally belonged. I finally went, yes, me too, and I'm not alone. So much of my disease was I don't belong, and that's why I ate. And depth and weight, and you're nodding your head profusely, but mainly, I belong. I'm just like you, and you're just like me, and you belong here. And then finally, something I heard this morning was the this issue of recreating our lives. Was that time? Yes?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
That we're not here to recreate my food or recreate my body size. I'm here to recreate my life. And that is the greatest gift we are given in this program. I don't even get on the scale anymore because my life is being recreated. I am changing from the inside out, right? We're being recreated. We're being changed. You know, everything's changing from the inside out. And that is the greatest gift we are given. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Susan.
Thank you, Wendy, so much. And next, Robin T. And if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning, Robin.
Good morning. May I be heard?
You can be.
Oh, thank you. Sometimes my phone mutes me again. Thank you so much. And Susan, it is so nice to hear your voice here today. Thank you for your service. So I'm Robin T. and I'm from Massachusetts. And I'm a little apprehensive to share today, but it's okay. I didn't know I needed anything recreated. I didn't know that I even wanted my life to be created. I knew I wanted to stop eating the foods that were affecting my digestion terribly and, you know, putting me in a place of severe pain. And I always wanted to lose weight, but, you know, I was resigned to the fact, okay, I'm in my 60s now, and I'm going to just be overweight. I'll deal. But, you know, as a result of working these steps and the support of everyone in the program and my higher power, you know, the weight just released, and I didn't do a thing about that. God did that. And I am recreating myself really quick. I'm in step 9, and my program has to be grounded in a power greater than myself, because I want a quick fix. I want to get these amends done, and I want relief from the pain of admitting that I took merchandise from companies in the 80s when I worked for them, and I've been crazy trying to control, oh, I got to get them all on the phone, and I got to get this done. Oh, I can't stand how it feels, and I've been praying and praying. Well, I couldn't get anybody on the phone yesterday, not a one, and I thought to myself, God has different plans. And what I think is my path, which may be or not be, is to trust God, is to trust. I'm not in charge of the results. I'm not even in charge of the process. I'm to learn to trust, be patient, slow down, pause, and live a life in the present, not focused on results, and just continue to deepen this connection with this power greater than myself through these 12 steps.
That's time, Robin.
Thank you so much for allowing me to share. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. And next we have Sherry HM. Welcome, Sherry. And if you can also tell us where you're calling in from this morning.
Good morning, and thanks so much for your service. And I loved your story on the special edition. Sherry HM calling from Mount Vernon, Washington State, gratefully recovered. This is just pretty interesting because I tried to do it on my own for years and years and years. You know, the whole 1-2-3 dance, you know, go on the diet on a Monday, never a Tuesday or a Friday. And just try so hard, try with all my might, which didn't work. Ended up in the same awful hole down the shaft of shame. And then where did I go with all the buildup of emotions? I went into the arms of my refrigerator, and that did not work too well. So when I finally found out about vision 9 years ago, that helped me so much. And when I did get my my sponsor from Vision, I hadn't known about, you know, the big book being used for OA at all, and I was already recovered with food. But my sponsor from Vision said, you got to work the steps fast. She said, how long did you have the cravings? I had the cravings a long time. I don't know exactly how long, but it's because I was never taught to work the steps fast. Bill was working the steps, I guess, at least by day six. It's just unbelievable. So it's only the power greater than myself. And for me, that's God. God did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I called up a friend who I'd met in Al-Anon and had, you know, kept off 55 pounds. And I said, hey, can we meet for coffee? And I'd love to hear, you know, how you did this. And so she shared her experience, strength and hope. And after we left Starbucks, I just threw up my hands, so to speak. And I just said, God, I can't do this. I've tried so much. I can't do it. You've got to do it for me. So then I was able to work the steps and do it fast. And what I'm still, you know, we all have to work on my buildup of emotions. That's always what's going to set me up. So I'm so grateful to God for this. And so grateful that the food only lasts for, 8 or 9 seconds, that wonderful feeling. But the shame is, it's just monumental. So I prefer this, and I'm so grateful for God. I never, ever thought I could be having no feelings about food. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you. Perfect timing. All right, we have time for some more shares. And as a reminder, if you're newer to this meeting, there is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. And the topic today is the paragraph in the doctor's opinion, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Who would like to share with us next?
Aaliyah,
I hear.
Yes,
Nancy L.
Elizabeth,
okay. We might have time for one more. Yvonne A. All right, let's stop there. Yes, Yvonne, I got you. No problem.
So when you all come on and share, if you can please let us know where you're calling from. So first I heard Aaliyah.
Yes. Hi, my name is, good morning. My name is Aaliyah A. from Montreal, Canada. And thank you all for your service and happy to be here. So that fraudy emotional appeal, and I used to get a lot of that from my mom, only if you were thinner, only if this and that. And of course, I wanted to look thinner, but this is a big misunderstanding aspect of addiction, right? That it's a matter of weak will that I have, or it's a matter of why can't I just stop by myself? And when I came to program, I understood that my willpower does not work, and I need a power greater than myself. And it was a big relief to understand why this fuzzy emotional appeal never worked with me, from other people and from myself. So I would revert back to the food every time. And this has been really a game changer for me, because eating for compulsive overeaters is not seen as a choice or a matter of weak will. You know, it became a necessity and we were powerless over it. So that was that's a very strong, revelation for me. And the other thing about this paragraph is my ideals, right? Ideals is a principle to be aimed at, right? So where we aspire to be. And these 12 steps have guided me and inspired me to live to my highest ideals. And it's, work in process. My life has changed significantly. It has been recreated, as it mentions in that paragraph, to a fourth dimension. And it was about taking action. And it's all because it's all geared towards set for my life, ideals such as love and peace and serenity, compassion, faith, courage, spiritual awareness. And this is what's beautiful about this program, is to be able to recreate lives through able to understand that I need a higher power and I cannot do it, because of my inadequacy. No human power could have helped me. So it's a very powerful program, and it's by taking action every day that I'm able to achieve these ideals with my higher power, with my OA fellows, and, continue to trudge the road. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Aaliyah A. in Montreal. Next, Nancy L., would you like to join us and tell us where you're from? And again, if you aren't speaking, please star one to remute yourself after you've shared. Thank you. Come on in, Nancy.
Thank you, moderator. This is Nancy L. calling from Arizona. This passage really reminds me of I was 29 years old. And my mom called and said, Julie and I want to take you out to lunch. And I said, okay, great. And my mom was in her early 70s. Julie was in her early 80s. And so I sat across the table from them. I got to pick where we were going, and it was IHOP. So I'm sitting there shoveling it in. They're sitting in front of me. And they didn't use the word frothy. They were very humble, and basically what they came to do was to tell me something they thought I might not know. And they were very gentle, and they said, Nancy, we are really concerned about you because you're doing one of two things. You're either binging or you're either binging or you're starving. And I just looked at them. I don't know what I said. I don't think I'm like, okay, and so what are you going to do? Help me out here? You're going to let me know what I'm doing? Like, I don't know this, you guys. I just wasn't very kind to them, and the more they talked, the faster I ate. And boy, I wish I would have paid attention back then, but I didn't. What I did do, though, was I hit my rock bottom when I was 55 years old. I was way obese, completely hopeless, sitting in my garage one day in the car, thinking, I cannot do this one more day. I can't live with the food one more day. I can't live without the food, with or without it, not one more day. And that was when I feel my higher power gave me direction, and I listened and I followed it. And he directed me to the Yellow Pages, of all things, wouldn't you know? I wonder if there's an OA meeting out there. I had been to one meeting in 1970, I think. So that, long story short, I am very, very grateful that I finally paid attention and found out there is a solution. And I've been living for a long, long time in a healthy body. And I'm so grateful to God and all of you guys. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. in Arizona. And next we have Elizabeth, and I didn't catch your last initial or where you're calling in from, Elizabeth. So if you can
join us. Thank you so much. I'm Elizabeth C. in California. Compulsive overeater. Emotional appeal seldom sacrifices. This is amazing because I'm always looking for depth and weight. And I look for that in the food. I'm looking for my comfort and joy in the food. And I have to trust that I can get that, you know, without it being neutral around my food. And I have a job where I'm bringing two meals sometimes to work. And really struggling with this recreation of my life, which is my higher power doing it, not myself. And it just dawned on me today with these words written. It's almost, it's just so powerful and transformative to have a name for what I've been trying to do and to realize, aha, that's my higher power. He's transforming me. And the transformation is coming from within. It's like putting the puzzle pieces together. I realize that cleaning up my act and staying away from certain foods is going to align me with the sunlight of the spirit. And that doing my program and my step work faster will help me look for my higher power and to find that depth and that weight in my higher power that he's doing miraculous things. So that's it. I just wanted to sort of claim my seat and to understand that I'm recreating my life, that my life is being recreated in a co-creation with my higher power. And this doesn't really involve food. This involves healthy eating, measuring, and just a discipline. And I notice that at work when I do that, people start to do that. So I have to be the example. And I want to be the example because it's better for me too in this recreation that I'm going through, this transformation. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your service and for everyone's shares. Pass.
Thank you, Elizabeth. And sorry, Yvonne, we are out of time. So please come back tomorrow. Okay, we will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Cara L., would you like to read a vision for you for us, please?
Good morning, my fellows. This is Cara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.